$2.81 a gallon.
Hawaiian authorities are urging sightseers to stay away from Leilani Estate as residents return to check in their neighborhood, which was threatened by lava and toxic gases emerging from the ground. This eyewitness describes what he saw when he returned to his neighborhood.
You know, there's a crack in the ground. Well, I've seen cracks in the pavement before, you know, but I didn't know that that meant that there's a lava tube underneath there.
This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
In recent years, the political establishments in country after country have faced a wave of extraordinary pressure from populist anger against governments that have failed to protect citizens from profoundly disruptive changes. Ian Bremmer is author of a new book titled Us Vs. Them, The Failure of Globalism. Now, he joined me earlier, and we had a chance to discuss, in his opinion, some of the reasons why he believes globalism failed.
Globalization economically led to a lot of people that were left behind, working class, middle classes. They saw their jobs go to other places, to the Chinas, the Mexicos. Second piece is the culture and identity piece, big waves of immigration coming to the United States, coming into the West, people that were, you know, quite a bit different from those that were living in the U.S., changing the nature of society. But a lot of people felt like, wait, government's not taking care of me. No one's investing my education, my infrastructure. We're letting these other people in. Big backlash to that. And then finally, and the most worrying piece, is the technology piece, because technology now, automation, AI, big data, is displacing far more people from their places of work than globalization ever did economically. And you have a technological system that is much more top-down driven in terms of how we get information. And so people only get information that they like now because it's being driven by advertising companies, Facebook, Google, and the rest.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
And it's your host, Georgine Trinkle. We have a broadcast of Hot and Hattered, and today we have a special guest who will make live in just a moment. But as always here, we like to start out with a quote, and we have to pay the bills with some of our advertisement. So our quote of the day, if you haven't been following our Hot and Hattered and Facebook page, getting all the clues, our guest today is a childhood friend. You know, those are always my favorite guests to begin with. And he's a childhood friend who's actually an amazing chef. So our quote today is from a chef that is quite famous, who really I feel is an inspiration for all her love of cooking and her sense of boundaries where they are limitless, and she was always willing to try things and have no fear of failure. And I think that's something that stops a lot of people. People make excuses for who they love or how they live their life instead of just pushing those boundaries. So from Julia Child today, I had my first French meal and I never got over it. It was just marvelous. We had oysters and a lovely dry white wine, and then we had one of those lovely scallop dishes. And she goes on to talk about it. But you can tell she truly fell in love with French cooking, and she never got over it. And hopefully we all have a love like that in our lives. We're going to do our commercial, and then we'll be back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hattered In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hattered In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Okay, and we're back here to do our weather. So I was just checking on one of our little lips from last week, and I don't think it's fixed yet, so I'll have to play around with that a little bit. So what's our weather? Is there a beach day this week? That's what you all want to know, and there is. Beach days are Tuesday and Wednesday. Today we have a slight chance of showers, but I think we're okay looking at the radar. Tomorrow we have mostly sunny skies, high of 72. You should call in sick, a personal day, whatever you need to do, get to the beach. It's a little chilly tomorrow night with a low of 47. We rebound nicely on Wednesday with a high of 76. And it's mostly sunny, so that's great. Wednesday night, we have a low around 50. That's not too bad. I'll tell you, I wasn't so happy when it was in the 40s this morning when I left my house. And the rest of the week is okay, but we have a chance of showers the rest of the weekend. And we're coming up on Mother's Day weekend, and I bet our guest here is going to have some ideas for us. So I'm going to now bring in our guest, Chef Anthony Lopinto. And you may, we are always informal here at the radio station, certainly when it's the Hot and Hunted in broadcast, but we do often branch into a lot of informality when you're with your childhood friends. So I may forget and call him Aunt, and you certainly will hear him call me GJ, but that is how we do it here. So let's see how our feed is working. Anthony, are you live with us?
I am here. Hi, how are you, GJ?
Excellent, Anthony. It's so good to hear your voice, and I'm so happy that you can be on the radio show today to tell everyone about your exciting news and some of the things that you've been doing. So thank you for taking this hour to be with us here at Hot and Hunterdon.
Oh, why, likewise, and thank you so much for letting me be a guest on your show. It's a pleasure and an honor.
Well, we're going to jump right in because you started your career at the age of 5 helping your mother in the kitchen.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
So some of us read the background material. Aunt, you shouldn't send it if you don't want us to read it. But why I started with that is because your love of cooking and not just your career as a chef, but some of the many things you do in the community with community gardening, that all centers around the love of family and the sense of cooking as an extension of love.
Why, thank you. Yes, and I did start cooking at a pretty young age, helping my mom, and I knew what I wanted to do at a young age was to be a chef, and it's been a wonderful journey. And I was very lucky. I grew up in a family, excuse me, where food was the center of attention. Can you hold on one second, please? Hold on.
Okay, so while we get Anthony back on track here, we will just mention where he is now. He is a classically trained chef from the Culinary Institute of America and the Culinary Arts. And he has a new venture that he's going to be talking about today. And I hope you can get a chance to go on our Facebook feed and look at one of the pictures, which is a dead giveaway for his new venture.
Okay. Georgine?
We're here with you, Anthony.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry about that. For some reason, I had a frog in my throat. I think it's from all the frogs I've cooked in my past that kind of caught up to me. But anyway, I'd like to go off your statement. I have a new project going on in Jersey City. It's called Third and Vine. And the subject that you brought up before was talking about cooking and the love of cooking and family and nourishing, and that's what we are focusing now on this project in Jersey City, where we're taking local foods and we're preparing them simply, all in season, and what we're trying to do is bring people back to the table. It's a very interesting property where there's not many TVs around, and it's so interesting because people are not on their phones that much. it's a very warm, inviting place.
And that is amazing. If anyone does go out to eat and isn't on their phone, and they look around the entire place. People just have their phones up, and they're looking at their phones. And I know it's important, but the sense of meal and community that you're accomplishing at Third and Vine seems to be a little bit more intimate, and people are more engaged.
Yes, it's really very refreshing to see people conversing and laughing and having a great time. We have a very exciting wine list. So what we're focusing on are grapes that people don't normally drink or ever heard of. So we're focusing on Italy and Spain and France, of indigenous grapes that have been around for thousands of years that people in that country drink. And they're so exciting, and they're so interesting, and they're of high quality, and we're able to give them at a very reasonable price. You know, they're just not the famous Cabernet Sauvignon or Chardonnay. We have things like a Falanghina. Instead of Sauvignon Blanc, we'll be pouring a Gruner Veltliner, things of that nature. So that's what we're doing at Third and Vine.
And you have different wines. I'm sure that you have favorites like any chef would, but you're actually highlighting some Portuguese wines at an upcoming wine pairing on June 20th, is it?
Yes, correct. We were able to speak with an importer. She represents Portugal with a distributor that we buy a lot of our wines from called Fedway. And we're so very fortunate to have these Portuguese wines. We're also very fortunate to actually have the winemaker attend the dinner. So we're looking forward to this. And this will be five courses with five different wines. And we're so excited because right now, New Jersey is just starting to really blossom with all of the beautiful spring produce that's popping up everywhere. And in June, a lot of the farms that we will be purchasing our ingredients from will be in full force. So we'll have the Garden State blossoming at our tables.
That is really exciting. We spent a lot of time on this show devoting segments to how important the different industries are for the New Jersey economy, and certainly I'm not sure if you're a fan of blueberry wine, but that's one of the great wines of New Jersey. Several of the local vineyards here in Hunterdon County are award-winning vineyards, and that is some of their great wine. And all of the grapes, all of those things, they tremendously help the entire community here. Sometimes they'll have wine festivals or wine and music festivals. And I did a 5K once at a local vineyard that,
really?
Yeah, they opened it up for charity. You paid an entrance fee and you ran through the vineyards, but it's really great for our economy. And then we take that one step further when our local restaurants pair with them. It is wonderful for all of the economy.
Oh, how exciting. See, when the community comes together, it's just such a vibrant feeling. It really is. And Hunterdon County, there are so many fantastic farms in that county.
There are. It is crazy. Anthony, I have to pay the bills here. I'm going to do a quick commercial break. So you'll be still with us, but you can speak freely because we have you muted. I'm going to do our commercials, and then I'll be back. Now, if you are near social media, go on to our Facebook page. I just posted a picture of one of Chef Lopinto's creations, and we are taking guests here, so we'll be back with all of you. Thanks for staying with us.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Every time I think of you, I always catch my breath, and I'm still standing here, and you're miles away, and I'm wondering why you left. And there's a storm that's raging through my frozen heart.
And we're back here with Chef LoPinto, and before we forget, we want to make sure for this June 20th Portuguese wine pairing. Anthony, can you tell us how you would reserve your place at the Portuguese wine pairing?
Hi, DJ. Yes, you can contact us by phone, or you can send us an email. You can send it to info@thirdandvine.com, or you can send one to me personally, and that is chef@thirdandvine.com, and we will take a deposit, and then your spot will be reserved.
Okay, now, do we spell out third, or is it the number?
It is spelled out, yes, T-H-I-R-D, and is also spelled out.
All right, so we'll get that. I want to make sure that I at least have it right, because I will absolutely get that up on our Facebook page, and that is in Jersey City. And tell us a little bit about the atmosphere inside. We heard a little bit about what the diners are doing as they're enjoying their food, but tell us a little bit about the seating or reservations required. What's the atmosphere?
Well, the atmosphere is very warm and inviting. I have good news to announce that we will have outdoor seating.
Wow.
Yes. Very exciting. We will be doing this on May 16th, and we will have beautiful custom-made seats and flowers and plants so that everybody can enjoy dining al fresco.
That is really great news. And will that be every evening? Okay.
Every
starting
evening.
May 16th, we can get an outdoor seating?
Exactly.
Oh,
we are
that's
open
great.
Tuesday through Saturday for dinner only. And then we do Sunday brunch.
Oh, how nice.
It's a very, very exciting part of town, too. The whole area of Jersey City is changing, and it's very beautiful. Lots of new buildings are going up, and it's when you walk into the restaurant, It's a very warm, inviting space. We have a very large bar area. And what's interesting about our tables is that they are actually handmade from wood that has fallen during Sandy. So they're all custom made.
Wow.
And it's beautiful because it's all community seating. So we don't have individual tables. So we'll have tables that can fit 8 people and maybe 4 people at the table, and then you sit next to people that you get to meet, and you get to talk to people that you might not ever get a chance to. And the majority of the menu, it's not tapas, it's a little bit bigger. It's more of a small plate thing.
Okay, and a small plate, is that, can we still share?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, what I'm doing is I'm composing dishes that are able to be shared. So, you know, I put together a lovely selection of charcuteries with different types of salamis and capicoles and prosciuttos and marinated olives. And what it's designed for is to be shared. It's important to me that when you come to Third and Vine, you get an array of flavors and you get an exciting plate of different composed elements. Because we have the wine, we have a lovely cocktail selection, and what's nice about Third and Vine also is that we have over 35 different cheeses to choose from. And we pair the cheese with a beverage, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to sit down and have a selection of cheeses, and you can order as many as you want, or we can put a selection together for you. We cover all the bases with sheep's milk and cow's milk and goat milk. What's your favorite cheese? Do you have one?
I think I have to try several. It's certainly the goat milk cheese.
Oh, yeah.
Is it always a favorite? That's always just a smoother cheese, I think, with a lot more flavor.
Mm-hmm. And what we're doing also, just to add with our cheeses, every single cheese will have a paired condiment. So, for example, we'll have a beautiful English Stilton, and we'll pair it with a brown sugar fudge.
Ooh.
So you have this nice, salty, earthy blue cheese, and then brown sugar fudge to go with it. Things of that nature. We will take toasted sunflower seeds and pair that with a sheep's milk cheese that is more of a creamy texture, so you have this salty crunch and this creamy cheese to go with it. It's so important to have a cheese and then something to accent with it so that you can understand and taste the full flavor of the cheeses.
And cheese and figs are my favorite combination, so.
That is so good, and figs are coming into season. They'll be here in the summer.
They are, and I was able to post some pictures of some of your creations that look lovely. One had different greens, I believe, with a strawberry.
I think that was the foie gras. With
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. We're doing a torchon of foie gras with fresh strawberries, basil, and a condiment called vincotto. So what we do at Third and Vine is I've been concentrating a lot of my cooking on flavors, of course, textures and presentation, but also digestion. I cook so that your body can digest this food easily for maximum nutritional retention. I want my diners to be comfortable when they're eating. I want them to be comfortable on their way home. And when they wake up in the morning, I still want them to be comfortable.
Well, as always, Chef, you think of everything when you're thinking of your creation all the way home, and I think that is why your restaurants always do so well. It's because you're taking care of the whole person, the whole family, the whole body, the whole community, and it's almost a holistic approach to cooking.
Well, thank you. I tell my cooks all the time, people sometimes forget what you do, and sometimes people forget what you say. But people will never, ever forget how you make them feel. And if you make your guests feel like they will never, ever forget, they're going to come back. They're going to come back. And you have to remember to not only take care of the customers, but, you know, take care of each other who cooks in the kitchen. Taking care of each other, we can all take care of the customers together. And when you shower your employees with that same care and attention that you give your customers, it's a full circle. It's a full circle.
It is, and it starts and ends with the chef. So,
and you know the funny thing is, there's this running joke in my house. Whenever something goes wrong, oh, it's the chef's fault. Oh, wait, the light bulb burnt out. Oh, yeah, that's chef's fault.
That's great. That's a classic. That is a classic. And you have had such a great career, Anthony, and I know this is just another step in your amazing journey with food and community. And you had the honor of being reviewed by several different critics, including the New York Times. I was wondering if you would just share a little bit about what that experience was like, if it was nerve-wracking, if you had advanced notice. If you could tell us a little bit about that, we'd love to know about that.
Well, thank you. You know, I've been very lucky to have had the pleasure of being either on the opening team, being a sous chef or a chef de cuisine or executive chef, or just as a consultant for many, many restaurants to help them get opened or to help fix them. And it's funny, when we're building the restaurant, before we even open, we think about the menu and we think about, okay, how can we make this menu flavorful, exciting to everybody? And when I mean everybody, that's restaurant critics or journalists or what have you. And it, the beginning of a restaurant, you never know when they're going to come in. You have no idea. It's all just a big surprise. And it's always refreshing to open the paper and then see your restaurant in there. Now, they usually do call, and they'll ask you questions and confirm when you're open, do you take reservations, so they'll confirm all that, but they never tell you when it's coming in. So you look at the paper every single week, you know the review's coming in on Wednesdays, so you look every single Wednesday to see if you're in there, and it's very refreshing to see what other people, especially writers, say about your food. And it's a lot of fun. It really is. And being reviewed by the New York Times, it's my favorite paper. It's a world-renowned paper. And it looks great on your resume, too.
It certainly does.
The New York Times on it.
The New York Times, being reviewed by the New York Times, that's a high, very high honor. And so when they may tell you the day, but do you not necessarily know that who they are when they come in to eat your food?
Yeah. You have no idea.
No idea.
Sometimes wait staff will overhear something, or a wait staff person will see someone writing notes.
So there's 20 alleged critics in any given night there, right?
Exactly. But someone did tell me once that whenever you see a table and they're all passing the plates around after a couple bites, you might be getting reviewed.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And then how long for your New York Times review did you have to wait for it to be in the paper?
Oh, my gosh. I think once I got the phone call confirming, you know, that the menu items were correct and times and everything, I think it was maybe 2 weeks. And
wow.
It was about 2 weeks afterwards. And it's so exciting. It really is very, very exciting to open up that paper and see your restaurant there. All your hard work and all of the sweat. Oh, I should say blood, sweat, and tears, because sometimes there is blood. To see it on in print is very rewarding.
Well, I think that's part of your attitude, why you're the coolest chef that we know. A lot of people it would just be anxiety, and they'd be laden with indigestion, and you always look on the positive and see it as, you know, an opportunity, and it really being reviewed by the New York Times is amazing.
Yeah, that was a fun moment. Now with this new project, hopefully we can get another review. That would be
great. If we have any reviewers from the New York Times, please go on over to Third and Vine and review the executive chef.
So, GJ, tell me, what is your favorite time of season?
I would probably say the fall.
The fall. So you enjoy apples and pears. Quince and things of this nature?
Absolutely.
Do you have a favorite fall dish that you enjoy?
Well, I really enjoy things with pears.
Okay.
For sure. I love the texture of pears and how sweet they are and juicy, and they don't have, while I like apples, you have to get past the skin, and I've had to get past the skin in enough people and places in my life. I would rather just bite into the pear and have the sweet, juicy fruit without that texture getting through that tough skin.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. Pears are absolutely delicious. And you know what's really nice about, you know, Third and Vine is the owner's outlook on food. He is so very in tune with the seasons, and he agrees with me that it's so important to eat what our planet is giving us, not only for maximum nutrition, because that's when it's at its best, but also flavor. And I'm so thankful and grateful that we are going to have a menu that is going to be, I guess I can say it's a living, breathing menu almost, to where what we're given is what will be served. And having a seasonal menu is so important to me as a chef. And thank goodness that a lot of our upcoming cooks are understanding the importance of cooking what's in season, not only for flavor and nutrition, but also for financial, because a restaurant is a business. We sell food and beverages to make a living, and I'm happy to see that there are a good number of cooks understanding that it is a business also.
Absolutely, and I know that we've had discussions about being able to have food that's locally produced, and I think in just the last 2 weeks there was a lettuce recall and a scare that, you know, people were terribly ill and there was a fatality linked to that, and also an egg recall. And that again had mass nationwide stores such as Walmart had eggs that were recalled. And so it's always nice. I'm able to get my eggs at the farm down the street from my house.
Oh, how nice.
So, and now we're coming up on the season where we had a community, the Organic Community Garden of Clinton Township here. And they, last year they came in and they returned this year and they encouraged me to plant some seeds.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so I already killed the string beans, but I'm going to try again.
I'm going to try again. Bush beans, plant wax beans, or market more green beans. Bush beans, they're very easy to grow, and they're easy to take care of too, and they usually give you a good amount of food.
Well, I'm going to give that a try, because my first purvey into the seeds didn't go very well, but I'm going to give it another try. But it's so nice when we come upon this season that we can get our produce locally from a community garden, or we know that the restaurants are purchasing locally from some of the different community gardens, and that's such a nice feeling when you
that
go out
really
to eat.
I agree with you. You know, I tell my cooks all the time how important it is to have not only a good relationship with your coworkers, but also with the people that you're purchasing your food from. Because when you have a relationship with the person that is either taking care of the chickens to, you know, purchase eggs or vegetables or meat, it's important to have this relationship. Humans are very social creatures, and when you have a relationship with the person that you're buying your lettuces from or your vegetables from, it's different because you're supporting not only the relationship, but you're also supporting financially the farmer who, of course, is growing food as a business to make money. And I believe that a relationship with the people that you're buying your food from is so very important. And I'm so happy to hear that you're right in the midst of it. And you're buying fresh eggs, and you're having your own vegetable garden. That is so nice to hear.
Well, let's not call it a garden. It's a plant, and it's a dead plant right now. So let's not get crazy. Let's not get crazy. But we always have to try again, and we can't ever just – we started out with our quote from Julia Child. We can't ever let failure or the fear of failure stop us in what we want to pursue. So
correct.
I think that it is great when we can support locally and food that is produced locally – and have that relationship that you talked about is amazing. Now, I know when I was doing a little research for the show today that you do also some outdoor baking.
Oh, yes, yes.
That is neat.
As a matter of fact, it's funny you brought that up. I was just shooting some cooking videos for an outdoor oven company called Il Fornino, and we're doing videos of basically a wood-burning oven, and most people use it for pizzas, but this outdoor ovens are so versatile. They can bake breads, they can roast fish, they can roast shellfish. We were roasting oysters right in the oven on top of hot coals, and the oysters were just glorious. And it's such a versatile thing. So just recently, I did a bread baking class in an outdoor oven, and this was a oven that we constructed out of stone, mud, straw, clay, and it was just fantastic to do it inside this oven because we built a roaring fire inside of it. We got the oven to about maybe 900 degrees, pulled all the embers and coals out of the oven, loaded it up, and then we sealed it. It's the most ancient design of oven, and it was interesting because that class happened in the winter time, and today I'm out in the beautiful spring sunshine with this unbelievable oven that's made out of stainless steel, but the floor is all stone, and it was so wonderful to see how this food cooks on stone and iron. It was just glorious today.
That is amazing, and I bet the bread was delicious.
Oh, it really was. It was a fun time. We taught, that day we did semolina. Mm-hmm. We also did fresh pitas, and we did pizzas, but we also did a very ancient form of cooking called ash cookery, where we were taking food and throwing it right on top of the coals. So we did beets and potatoes, and we threw some steak right on the red-hot coals, and it has this unbelievable smoky flavor, but it wasn't burnt. That was the interesting part. The outside was charred, but when you sliced open your potatoes or your beets or carrots, the inside was absolutely perfect.
That sounds amazing. Now, I learned something last year, Anthony, about these purple potatoes, do you?
Oh, yeah.
And these different colored carrots. And
Oh, they're good.
So do you use any of that in your cooking sometimes?
Yes, we do. The purple potato was a variety that was actually developed, I think, in Peru. And that was because of the composition of the soil. After many years of cultivating this potato, it became a standard species. And all of these potatoes, the pink russets, the purple, the Peruvian purples, and the rose potatoes, they're all heirloom vegetables that nature has designed. And it's just been this way for thousands of years. So they are of an heirloom variety. And you know what? You should try to grow some potatoes,
Georgie. Yeah, come on. And I heard you just take an old potato and you kind of put it in dirt and...
Yeah. It's interesting because when the potato's sprouting, that's when you cut a chunk of that potato with the sprout, dig yourself a hole, and then you put the potato in with the sprout sticking up and just lightly cover it with dirt until you get to the very, very bottom of the sprout. You don't want to cover the whole thing. But as the potato grows, you put more dirt down and more dirt down. And what happens is eventually you're going to have a mound of dirt and the potato plant on top. When the potato plant is fully developed, it dies, and then you pull all the dirt away, and there's potatoes everywhere.
This isn't like magical story time.
Hey, remember that show, The Magic Garden?
Oh, I'm starting to get a little concerned. We're going down memory lane here. Well, I've really seen these potatoes only recently, and they look lovely, and I'm sure that at Third and Vine, you would come up with some amazing creations. We are going to do a little commercial break, but before we do that, and it's our last commercial break, Aunt, we always say radio time goes faster than any other time. We only have about 15 minutes left, but I want to give the logistics of the restaurant. So it is called Third and Vine. It's at 353 Third Street. That's between Newark and Brunswick. And it is in Jersey City. You can call the restaurant, which has hours Tuesday through Thursday, 5 p.m. until about midnight. Friday and Saturday, you open at 5. You stay open a little bit later till about 1. And then the phenomenal brunch every Sunday from 11 to 3.
Correct.
We have some outdoor dining that starts on May 16th.
Yeah.
And your email address is chef@thirdandvine, all spelled out, .com.
Correct.
Excellent. All right. And I'll give the phone number, 201-533-8309.
Perfect.
Okay. We're going to switch over to a commercial break. And then we'll be back in our last segment to talk more to Chef Lopinto regarding his newest venture as the executive chef of Third and Vine. And we will be talking a little bit more about some of the great creations and how small plates and the love of cooking transcends a dining experience to something where you put your phones down. So stay with us. We'll get right back to it.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Must have been something you said. I just died in your arms tonight.
And we're back at Hot and Hunterdon for our last 15 minutes here on May 7th, speaking with Chef Anthony Lopinto, the executive chef from Third and Vine. And we were just talking a little bit about produce. And Anthony, since we are in Hunterdon County here, it just reminded me that you cooked a little bit with Chef Shelton at the Ryland Inn?
Oh, yes. That was back in 1993, I think.
And a lot of people would remember touring the gardens at the Ryland Inn because a lot of the food that was prepared was produced locally right on the Ryland Inn property. Yeah. So bring that back to our Hunterdon County listeners here.
He had an incredible garden. He had an excellent range of all kinds of plants. So, yes, he had tomato plants, but he probably had 20 or more varieties. And, yes, he had potatoes too, but he had a pretty large selection of potatoes. It was a very interesting time to be in that kitchen. And what I find interesting is how the kitchen has changed. So when I was younger, cooking in a kitchen, it was, I'll be blunt, it was cutthroat.
I bet.
And it wasn't the way I run my kitchen now. I believe that for me this works. This is how I work, and I get great results this way. By embracing my cooks to teach them and to positively reinforce their cooking all day, every day, to not only are we nurturing our customers, but I'm also nurturing my cooks so that they can remember how to do dishes and how to have certain cooking methods. I'm getting great results by embracing and supporting my cooks. So if my cooks need sauté pans and no one's around to do them, I do them. So what my cooks need, I give them. I give them the tools. Uh-huh. And I think that's really important to nurture our next generation of chefs, to make sure that they write down what they did today, make sure that they have the recipes, make sure that all their questions are answered. If they're in a little bit of trouble because a lot of orders are on their station, well, it's the chef's job to go and help them instead of trying to see if they can get out of the mess or not. I think it's important to positively reinforce the next generation of cooks. And, you know, I'm working, doing some volunteer work at a small little culinary school in Paterson, New Jersey, called Eva's. Mm. And they have a great culinary program, and they feel the same way about their students, where they actually nurture the students on a daily basis. It's a very small school. There's only 20 students, but what's so interesting about this school is that they have a 98 to 100% ratio of job placements. And what was very interesting also is that the students that are graduating from this culinary program, this nurturing culinary program, they are actually still in the business after graduating 5-6 years ago. Whereas when I graduated, there, out of 66 people in my graduating class, there are only 4 of us that are still in the kitchen.
Are you serious?
Yes. The majority of the class was out of the business within a year. So I'm wondering, what is this little tiny culinary school doing? And I went there and I saw what they're doing. They're positively reinforcing the cooks, and they're nurturing the cooks. They're analyzing the technical skills of these students and giving them dishes that they can reproduce consistently perfect by building confidence in the next generation of chefs. Because what I'm seeing is that there's not that many cooks out there. It's very hard to find cooks for a restaurant. There was a very big article in the New York Times about it, where we are a restaurant culture, but there's no cooks. They come out of culinary school, and they're in the kitchen for maybe 6 months, and they're out of the business. So what is the solution? And I believe the solution is by analyzing the quality and technical skills of our cooks and nurturing them, supporting and embracing them with skills that they can reproduce in a consistent manner to build self-confidence as a cook.
You know, Ant, that sounds like a mission statement. I think we have to get a wood plaque engraved with that in your kitchen. That really, we don't really get that many community-minded individuals that understand we have to nurture another generation and the people around us for exceptional results.
That was so well said. That was so well said. Thank you, GJ.
Oh, it's great. Now, are they connected to Eva's Village? Is that a technical piece, or they're a standalone?
No, they're Eva's Village is actually a shelter where they feed the poor and the homeless every day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. Every single day, people can go there to get food. But what they have is this culinary program where they give people basic skills. They give them just basic skills of cooking. And they go through the program, I think, in 6.5 months or maybe 5.5 months. I'm not sure the exact amount of weeks for this culinary program, but I found it so interesting that these people are still in the kitchen. What is this culinary school doing that's so different? And I went and I experienced it many times there. They are nurturing their students, and I've been doing this for years by nurturing my cooks, and to make sure that they understand the dish, to make sure how important it is to taste everything before it goes on the plate so that the customer is happy. And that's what this tiny little school is doing, and I just find it amazing that their employment ratio in the kitchen is in the high 80s. And some of these graduating classes, they have 100% job placement. I said, oh, my goodness, what's going on?
Well, that is amazing. Thank you so much for volunteering with them and for bringing their information to enhance our show today. That was great. I want to, in our last minute or two, make sure everyone knows we're talking about Third and Vine today with Chef Anthony Lopinto. You can contact the restaurant at 201-533-8309. They're open Tuesday, basically for dinner, Tuesday to Saturday, Sunday brunch. They open up around 5 o'clock every Tuesday through Saturday, and then on Sunday they're doing an 11 to 3 brunch. You have to see Chef Lopinto, and your website, we have to get the website for the restaurant onto our page. We do have a picture of the door that looks so pretty.
It's very fine.
Very, very appealing. We like that.
Yes, and please, when you come into the restaurant, everybody, let me know you're there.
And he means that, everyone. Anyone who talks about training chefs as nurturing, supporting, and engaging them, you know that he really means them. So we hope everyone goes to see you. And, Anthony, we thank you for being on our show today. And
well,
we
you
wish you
me.
Every success at Third and Fine. We know it'll be amazing.
Thank you so much, GJ.
All right, we'll see you.
It was a pleasure to talk to you.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And that was Chef Anthony Lopinto, my childhood friend here. And we are out of time, so I got to do the news. Stay around for the 5 o'clock broadcast. We'll be back next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
The Trump administration plans to step up prosecution of parents crossing the U.S. border illegally, separating them from their children so the adults can be more easily detained, U.S. officials said today. Attorney General Jeff Sessions made the announcement moments ago in San Diego.
If you smuggle illegal aliens across our border, then we will prosecute you. If you are smuggling a child, then we will prosecute you, and that child may be separated from you.
Earlier today at the White House, First Lady Melania Trump announced her core initiative as First Lady.
I feel strongly that as adults, we can and should be best at educating our children. So today, I'm very excited to announce Be Best, an awareness campaign dedicated to the most valuable and fragile among us, our children.
This is USA Radio News.
Mother's Day is this Sunday, and Pro Flowers is offering an amazing special. 100 stunning blooms for mom, plus a free glass vase for $19.99, plus shipping and handling. Go to proflowers.com, click on the blue microphone, and enter the secret code 3000. But hurry! This incredible deal expires this Friday. With fresh flowers, guaranteed delivery, and unique vases and accessories that mom will love, Pro Flowers has everything you need to get your Mother's Day shopping done for all the moms you know. Order now from Pro Flowers to get huge savings. Just pick a delivery date and it's guaranteed or your money back. 100 colorful blooms sent fresh from the fields and guaranteed to stay fresh and beautiful for at least 7 days, starting at $19.99, and will include a free glass vase. Order now because Mother's Day is this Sunday and this incredible special expires this Friday. The only way to get this amazing deal is to go to proflowers.com. Click on the blue microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 3000. That's proflowers.com, secret code 3000.
Bitcoin prices
must be able to at least state their case in an immigration proceeding.
He spoke on MSNBC. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders tossed out of a restaurant called the Red Hen in Virginia over the weekend because she works for President Trump. Now restaurants in New Jersey and Connecticut that have the same name say they've been receiving threatening phone calls and emails over the issue. This is USA Radio News.
Okay, so the big question for any decision you're going to make, is this actually going to work? Well, if you've heard about MediShare, which is a brilliant way of sharing healthcare costs, you may have wondered that. Does it work? Well, so did Dr. Stuart Hoover, who initially joined to save a lot of money. The typical family saves about $500 a month. Stuart saved even more.
When we first joined MediShare, we were immediately going from a little over $1,600 a month down to $460 basically a month.
So that's wonderful, but then his wife needed emergency surgery and the bills added up to $160,000.
So we were seeing the bills coming in, and then the bills were being paid. Portions were being shared, and the end result of this is this bill was taken care of.
Yes, MediShare works, and it's so easy to get your questions answered, too. So why not? You can call right now, 833-39-BIBLE. That's 833-39-BIBLE, 833-39-BIBLE.
A wildfire still burning out of control northwest of Sacramento, California, threatening hundreds of buildings. The Pawnee Fire has already destroyed 12. Meanwhile, in southwestern Colorado, the 416 Fire is still burning, having scorched over 34,000 acres. It's now 37% contained. But the weather there is not good for the firefighting efforts.
I horribly regret that. Are you kidding? I've lost everything.
That's Roseanne Barr expressing regret as she breaks down during a podcast interview over the weekend over the racist tweet she sent out last month, which led to the cancellation of her Roseanne reboot by ABC.
And I regretted it before I lost everything. And I said to